sense, or, you know, like, of if you are hearing from God or being led what he wants. And I just love God's presence. It's like that on the wall, experiencing God's presence. To experience God's presence is our peace of heaven here on earth, on these evil days and horrible things that we see every day. But just to know that God is so close to us, just to, as close as just closing your eyes and lifting your hands up, and he comes. He comes when we are hungry, when we are expecting, he just comes, and he's wonderful. I love God. I love God. I love being in his presence. And sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's like, you know, you want to be in God's presence, but you are busy doing this or doing that, or you have a full day with everything, and you're just thinking, and you know how women normally are making lists in our minds, and we're like this and that. And so it's challenging to just stop and be in his presence. But once I do it, it's the best, and you don't want to get out of there. But anyways, I want to pray before I get started. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, for your love, for your peace. And I just pray that you will use me, Father, that you will speak your word through me, Father, that you will be a blessing to all of us tonight, and that you will open our ears and our eyes so we can see you, Father, and that you will give us the power to fulfill your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So there's so much that I want to say or have in my heart, and at the same time, I don't know what to say. I prepared, but it's just like, it's, the word of God is like huge, and it's like, it's a lot to say. But anyways, I want to start with a prayer that Moses prayed in Psalm 90. No, it was Moses. It's a prayer of Moses. Yeah, well, at least that's what it says on the title. It's a prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. Verse 12, it says, "Oh, teach us to live well. Teach us to live wisely and well. Come back, God. How long do we have to wait? And treat your servants with kindness and for a change. Surprise us with love at daybreak. Then we'll skip and dance all day long. Make up for the bad times with some good times. We've seen enough evil to last a lifetime. Let your servants see what you are best at, the way you rule, the ways you rule, and bless your children. And let the lovingness of our Lord, our God, rest on us, confirming the work that we do. Oh, yes, confirm the work that we do." And I don't know what times exactly Moses was living, but I was like, man, that prayer is for these times. We need to pray that. You know, there's a lot of things going in this world, a lot of, what you say, junkiness, like junk and stuff. And I was like, yeah, Lord, in all these bad times, give us some good times. And what I've been meditating on, or has been in my heart or in my spirit, should I say, is the part where it says, teach us to live wisely and well. And there's different versions that I was looking, because I like seeing the different ways these verses get written. And so verse 12 is the one. It says, teach us to consider our mortality so that we might live wisely. Another version said, to count our days. Teach us to use wisely all the time we have. Teach us to make us know how short our lives really are, to count our days so that we may be wise or gain a wise heart. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. And just, you know, being in this world we get in our daily things and we don't think about what's gonna happen or when it's gonna happen. And so I was meditating about that, how, like, if we consider that, you know, if we knew I'm gonna die that day, you know, we will prepare, we will, like, be ready. But we need to consider. We need to consider and count our days and live wisely. You know how many young people, like, I had a friend, and he knew God, or, well, he knew that Jesus was the way. He didn't know God, because if he knew God, he would have just be there with him. But he knew that God was the way, that Jesus is the way, and but he wanted to enjoy his life. He wanted to enjoy his youth. And then when getting old, get back with Jesus or how will you say, get a relationship with God, and then, you know, ta-da, go to heaven. And sadly, his dad is a drug dealer, and he was in a party, and one guy came and shot at him in his forehead, and yeah, sad. But anyways, we need to count our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. And then God took me to Ephesians 5:15, and I saw a connection with Moses' prayer. And Ephesians 5:15 says in the New Living Translation, well, the title says, Living by the Spirit's Power. And it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And I was just meditating on this verse. How do you see the connection with Moses' prayer? How it says to live carefully and to live like those that are wise and to make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And again, with this verses, I was looking, well, I've been having in my mind those two things about time and about, in Spanish, is the verses, aprovechando bien el tiempo porque los días son malos, and I'm going to say it in English. Anyways, the verse is 16, Ephesians 5:16. It says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, says this version, because the days are evil. And it's very clear, right, that we are living in evil days. Sinful days is another version. Well, and I'm going to just mention again different versions of that. Use your time well. And then another one says, these are evil times, so make every minute count. Use every opportunity you have for doing good. Making the best use of the time. Take advantage of every opportunity or make the most of your time, redeeming the time, season, because these are evil times. Be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. Another version says, watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Use every chance you have for doing good. These are sinful days. And another one says, people live in every wrong ways these days. And so I guess you guys get where God was taking me with this, about making the best of our times. And God knows what we have in our time. And Satan wants to distract us with a lot of things, with a lot of things going on in this world. And I like, I'm going to read it in those same verses in the Voice version. It says, so be careful how you live. Be mindful of your steps. Don't run around like idiots as the rest of the world does. Yeah, humorous. I like that. I laugh also when I read it. But that's true. You know, he said, don't run around like idiots as the rest of the world does. And the rest of the world doesn't. They are just like, you know, well, instead walk as the wise. Make the most of every living and breathing moment, because these are evil times. So understand and be confident in God's will, and don't live thoughtlessly. That's a hard word for my Spanish Mexican tongue. But you know, the world right now is, well, you know, distracted with the things of this world. And I don't want to go ahead of myself, but you know, we know what God's will, and it's what God's will is. And we need to be confident, it says here, understand, first of all, understand what God's will is and be confident on that, and live every moment doing His will. Not like the rest of the world. Don't get caught up in what the world is doing. And to get going to the rest, I just want to read one more version. And the title alone preaches itself. It says, you know the truth, let your life show it. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time despite all the difficulties of these days. Thank you. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. These versions are awesome. I feel like I don't need to preach, because I'm just reading the Bible, and it just preaches and challenges us. And I wanted to share it. You know, sometimes I just come here and read verses, but you know, the Word of God preaches for itself. But I want to talk about what is God's will and what does God wants us to do, because that's what these verses are talking about, and that's what we need to be doing with our time, making every moment, every minute of our lives count, doing God's will. Well, what is God's will? He called us to be His witnesses and to establish His kingdom. And you know, when he called us to do that, He didn't leave us by ourselves to do it, you know, with His word, and yeah, go ahead and just preach it and preach the good news. In Acts 1:8, it says that when the Holy Spirit came upon us, it said that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and we will be His witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And yeah, of course, we read that, and we are not going to Jerusalem, and well, I hope going one day, but our Jerusalem is our family. Our Judea is our neighborhood. And Douglas is our Samaria, and the ends of the earth is, you know, wherever God takes us. And, you know, like, for example, I went to Bible school because I wanted to prepare myself to go Christ for the nations. I went to Christ for the nations, and I wanted to go to the nations. And, you know, sometimes I would be like, well, yeah, Denise, that was 10 years ago or so. And you're here in a church preaching to 5 people, 6, 7, I don't know how to count, 10 people, you know. But I know I have a calling, And you know, I know, like, we see Mark Bowling there, he goes to India and all that stuff, and you're like, well, probably that may be for Mark Bowling or for pastors that they have, they're calling in their, in the pueblos and all that stuff. I know we're gonna go, well, I know I'm going to go to the end of the earth, but we need to be faithful where God has called us. But, well, what I wanna talk about today is about that wall over there. You know, we've been called as a church to transform families, our community, and the world. And, you know, every time I sit there and I'm looking at the wall, and, you know, If it may feel big if we take it as a vision for the church, but I was meditating on it and I was thinking, that's a perfect vision to take personal, as a personal vision, you know? Like, I thought that would be awesome if each person takes it for their themselves, thank you, for themselves, and make their vision and life mission to transform families, our community, and the world, then the whole church will take that and start working on it. And, well, I feel that's what God calls us to do, basically, you know, to how do we transform families, our community, you know, our Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth is over there. And God has given us his power to transform. And in the Amplified version, it said that word power, well, it says ability and efficiency and might. And that word power is dunamis, and is the same word used for dynamite. And dynamite is powerful. I mean, if someone turns on some dynamite here, like, we're not going to be like, oh, it's dynamite. You know, it's like, we all going to run as far as we can so that doesn't touch us. And I mean, what I'm trying to say is that it's powerful. And God has been giving, and I said before that, you know, in Ephesians, that title that says living by the Spirit's power, we are supposed to be living by the Spirit's power. And we've been equipped. We've been equipped to go and transform families, our community, and the world. We're not by ourselves. You know, Jesus sent us and he said his last words were to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says these signs will follow those who believe, you know, to cast out demons, to speak in new tongues, to take up serpents and drink anything deadly and nothing will hurt us, and to lay hands on the sick and that they will recover. We have been given power, and it's an awesome power. It's not just, you know, it's compared to dynamite. Because it explodes and everyone realizes that something explodes there. You know, it's not like a little firework that and it turns off. No, dynamite destroys the whole thing. Like it's boom. It's a big thing, and that's what we have inside of us. We need to believe it, and that will come out. We have that power of the Spirit inside of us. And it's wanting to come out, and that way we are going to transform families, communities, and the world. And so if every day to accomplish that vision, and I want to encourage you guys, I don't know if you want, but I want to take that as my life vision and mission, to transform families, communities, and the world. And we can do it. It's very simple. You know, this message is very simple. Teaching, experiencing God's presence. You know, every day, get up and just lift your hands up, pray. Get there with God in his Spirit, because we need his Spirit to do that ability, that efficiency, and that might to be his witnesses. And so if we just every day seek him, every day singing to God, I get in my bedroom and close my eyes and just there singing to God. Sometimes I put music, sometimes just by myself, or lay on my knees and just seek him. Just seek him and spend time with him, because that is what Christian life is about spending time with Jesus, with our Lord, with our Savior, with our everything. And it's enjoyable. It's the best thing that you can experience. And then getting the word. Teaching God's word. Yeah, we're going to teach God's word, but also get that teaching in ourselves. Every day, getting the word. Getting the word, and wherever we go, show God's love. Sometimes it's not easy, you know, at the daycare, I'm working for the ones that don't know. I laugh with Jasmine because there's kids that are very easy to love and they're just cute and nice and stuff. And there are other kids that don't behave and stuff. And those are the ones that need love the most. But it's hard sometimes, you know, it's hard. But, you know, if it's a kid or if it's your boss or, you know, whoever it is, to just show them God's love. And that way is how we're going to live God's purpose. And it's easy. It's just easy. And that's what we need to be doing with our time. You know, in these evil days, desperate days, people are desperate, like the voices running like idiots in worrying about this life. And Matthew 6:33, well, starting verse 25, it says, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what would you eat, drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And you know, he talks about how he feeds the birds and how they don't worry about what they're going to eat, but God feeds the birds, and how we shouldn't worry about our clothing, because the lilies of the field, they grow and they dress even better than King Solomon, but God clothes the grass and the fields. But I want to read, it says at the end of verse 30, will he not much more clothe you, or you, O you little faith? Therefore, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know, God knows that we need stuff. He knows. And just as a parent know that their kids need to get fed, just like that, our Father knows that we have needs. So we shouldn't worry about all those things. It says, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus is his righteousness. And all these things should be added to you. But I want to focus on that. Seeking first the kingdom of God. We are in this world. I know every time I stand here, I said, we are here in this world to establish his kingdom. Otherwise, we will be already over there with him, enjoying his presence and everything wonderful there. But we are here. I sometimes I get frustrated because of people like the voices, you know, running in this world like idiots, following the customs of this world. And instead of focusing in God, like focusing on where we are going. I don't know if I have shared this story here, but one time my sisters and I went to a conference, but we were there, I don't know if for 5 days or something. And my sister Marisol and I, we like unpack all our stuff. We unpack it and we put it like on the drawers and stuff for the time we were there. And my sister Ruth, she left it all in her backpack and she was making fun of us. She's like, why you guys like, you know, we're here for 4 days. Why are you guys like all like, if you're moving here? And we would laugh. I was like, well, it's more comfortable to have it in the drawers and not be like looking for all the stuff in the suitcase. But that was a funny experience, but the truth of the matter is that we as Christians do the same thing. We are here in this world for 4 days, per se, compared to eternity. And we unpack our stuff and we get comfortable in this world and we try to run like idiots like people of this world do, instead of focusing on, you know, I'm coming here, I'm gonna get my job done, and then I'm gonna go to heaven, because this is just for a little while. But eternity is forever. And what I'm gonna do is serve God and you know, worship him and just sing holy, holy, holy with the angels. I don't know, that's gonna be awesome. I can't picture it or imagine. I try, but it's without comparison to whatever we can imagine. So, you know what, that word transform, you know, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this caught my attention when I read it, where it says that then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Because sometimes we think something is God's will because it looks good or pleasing, but it may not be perfect and it may not be God's will. So we need to discern, but we need to transform our minds, renewing. We need to be transformed, sorry, by renewing our minds with the Word of God. So if the Word is going this way and it's doing this, it doesn't mean we need to go that way. Probably we need to go, for sure, on the opposite direction, on the opposite way. And I like how it says in the voice, do not allow this world to mold you into his own image. You know, we've been already made in God's image. And sometimes we try to mold ourselves into this world. You know, what they want, what, you know, get a career, get a good job, get your car, a big house, another car, you know, and all this. And yeah, of course God wants us to have stuff and enjoy our lives. He wants to bless us. That's why he's saying, no, don't worry. And it says that Solomon, with all his glory, he never was dressed like the lilies or stuff. But, you know, Solomon was super rich. And there's people that's been very blessed in the Bible. God wants us to enjoy and live a good life. But it's not about what is in this world. It's not about what people is focused on having in this world and what their goals are. Our goals are to build God's kingdom. And so the other part it says, instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. And it's hard sometimes when we just see, you know, what's going on here. You know, we don't see what's going on in heaven, but we have a clue with the Word of God and experiencing his presence. That's our own little taste of what's going to be. And so I just want to encourage all of us to focus in what really matters and in doing God's will, in establishing his kingdom. And what better way than getting, you know, my people perish for lack of vision. And so if you don't have a vision for your life, get that one and make it your mission. You know what? I'm gonna, first of all, transform my life, not conforming to what is in this world. I'm gonna have my suitcase ready for whenever he comes. I'm ready. I'm not, you know, here conforming to this world, getting that image. I mean, probably God won't recognize us if we are, you know, like, hey, I made you to my image, and you are conforming to this world. I confuse you. So that we will be ready whenever he comes, and that we will transform ourselves first, and then be able, of course, we won't be completely transformed. In the process of being transformed, we can transform our families, that community, and the world. And that's just it, what I have today, you know, to don't be distracted with what everything is, but with everything that is going on, but understand what the Lord wants. And I guess I want to, you know, be careful how we live, and make every minute count of our lives. And I guess I just want to close with the prayer that Moses did. Father, you are the only one that's satisfied. And I ask that you will satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, so that we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in portion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Let us, your servants, see you work again. Let our children see your glory, Father. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Make our efforts successful, Lord. Father, that we can make every minute count in our life, that we can take advantage of time to establish your kingdom in this earth, that we can be focused in you, Lord, with our eyes in the goal, with our eyes in Jesus, and not be distracted with what is going on in this world, that we don't get overwhelmed with what's going on here, Father, or what is expected of us in this world, but that we can be trusting in and understanding your will, Father, in complete confidence, Lord, of your will, filled with your spirit, with everything that you are, with your power inside of us, Lord.